Today's podcast is brought to you by FantasyFeud.com, a premier destination for daily fantasy sports. Fantasy Feud offers daily contests for all sports and a wide array of game offerings. Play in their high-stakes $1 million NFL championship or try one of their NFL season-long leagues where you draft a new team each week. Join Fantasy Feud today and get a 100% first-time deposit bonus with promo code 4FOR4. That's 4FOR4.
I'm Anthony Stalter. Welcome to 4for4 Fantasy Football's Most Accurate Podcast. As always, I'm joined by 4for4 Senior Editor John Paulson. He was named the Most Accurate Expert of 2010 and 2014 by Fantasy Pros. How are we doing today, John?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing today, Anthony?
Good, good. Why don't you talk about the Muse before we dive into some of the news and notes for Week 14?
Yes, that's the name of the track is Baby We Were Young by the Dirty Guvnahs. I'm gonna spell that for you. G-U-V apostrophe N-A-H-S. It's off their 2010 album, Youth Is In Our Blood. So check it out if you like the track.
All right, John, let's dive into some of the latest news and injuries around the league. A lot to get to today. We'll start off in Foxborough, where Rob Gronkowski is listed as questionable with a knee injury, and Julian Edelman is out but did return to practice on Friday. What do you make of Gronk's chances of playing this week, and do you think that Edelman has a chance to return in either Week 15 or Week 16 for some fantasy playoffs?
Gronk, obviously, getting a couple of limited practices in, he has a better chance to play now than he did prior to practicing. But it's a Sunday night game, which makes things really dicey. The thing that is working in our favor as fantasy owners is that it's a road game. So we should know on Saturday whether or not Gronk makes the flight to Houston. If he's generally the Patriots don't play a guy, don't have him travel if he's not going to play. So that should give us an inkling whether or not Gronk is really questionable or if he's more doubtful or out. So obviously if he's playing, then you got to start him. If he's out, Scott Chandler looks like a really good start. Chandler has 2 touchdowns in the last 2 games with Gronk sidelined. So he's a fine start. And if you want to wait on Gronk but you don't have Chandler, you could maybe pick up Ryan Griffin from the Texans. He's been playing well lately. And maybe Will Tye on the Monday night game for the Giants. He's had some good games as well. As for, you asked about Edelman as well. That was a real surprise that he was back today. I talked to our injury expert, Russell Matalassis, and he doesn't really think that Edelman has much of a chance to return within the fantasy playoffs here in the next couple of weeks. If he does, he's wondering how effective he'll be, how limited he'll be because of Edelman's game is so hard on his feet, the way he cuts, pops in and out of routes and everything. But the fact that he did practice today, if he gets a full set of practices in next week, he could potentially play. It's really quick for his injury. It's supposed to be a 6 to 8 week injury. We're right around week 4, I believe, right now. So, if he's out there in the waiver wire and you have an open roster spot, pick him up, especially PPR formats. But I wouldn't break the bank trying to get him.
A lot of fantasy owners are confused about what to do with C.J. Anderson, John. He did not practice on Friday with that ankle injury. Ronnie Hillman, who's dealing with a foot injury, looked fine, according to head coach Gary Kubiak. Is Hillman a safe start this week, and do you just avoid C.J. Anderson altogether?
Yes, I think you avoid C.J. Anderson. I don't think he plays, but Kubiak implied that he has a chance to suit up. I don't know how smart that is when you have Hillman, who can play. You also have Juwan Thompson, who has looked good in his limited work in the league. He's not running the ball that great this year, only 3.1 yards per carry, but his career average is much higher. And he's very capable if Anderson can't play. And I think with Hillman missing practice Wednesday and Thursday, only coming back for Friday, he's not a super safe start, but against the Raiders with Anderson out, you would think that he would get 10 to 15 carries. I would think Juwan Thompson would get another 8 to 12 touches. and maybe get some goal line work as well. But they've been using Hillman at the goal line. But I think both players are decent plays this week against Oakland, who is 21st in the league and adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs.
All right, in New Orleans, Brandon Cooks was reportedly out Thursday with a concussion, but he's now listed as probable. What's going on here?
Well, this is a funny situation because he was reported to have a concussion, and basically if he had had a concussion, he wasn't going to play this week. There's just no way to get cleared in time. But as it turned out, the labeling of a concussion was premature by the press that was involved in that, or the team misreported it. Because watching Sean Payton's press conference today, what happened was Cooks had a little bit of dizziness and something that was thought to be a symptom of a concussion. He had no hard hit that they knew of in practice or in the game. So what they did is they sat him out on Thursday, and he had a meeting with his doctor, and da-da-da-da-da, and he got cleared, didn't have a concussion. So he never had a concussion. And so now he's back in back to probable, and he's a nice play this week against the Bucks.
In San Diego, both Stevie Johnson, who's dealing with a groin injury, and then Dontrell Inman with a neck are both out. Neck injury, I should say. Obviously, Inman has a neck. What do the Chargers have left at receiver now?
Yeah, they're getting down to the nitty gritty here. We got Malcolm Floyd, who normally I would really look like him as a sneaky start here in the spot due to the targets and playing time he'll get, but he's got the shoulder injuries playing through, so it's a little dicey to bet on him. Javonte Herndon has been involved in the offense the last few weeks with all the injuries they've had. They've got Tyrell Williams, and then they recently re-signed Vincent Brown. If you remember, they had him on the roster a few years back as well. I think Floyd is a decent desperation start if you need a receiver. Herndon is okay in PPR formats. He might end up with five or six catches if things go well. But the player that might surprise is Ladarius Green, who should see plenty of playing time in two tight end sets. He's playing more than Gates in recent games. But I'm worried about this offense in general. They're struggling to score in Kansas City against a hot defense. The offensive line is so banged up. So I'm not real optimistic about the whole team in general.
Calvin Johnson didn't practice Friday, but according to the Detroit Free Press, he, quote, should be good to go for Sunday's game against the Rams. I'm assuming that Calvin Johnson's going to play, John, and I might add the Rams are severely banged up in the secondary. This is a great matchup.
Yeah, they're missing their best corner this week as well. The nice thing here is that they play early, the Lions do, so we should know and owners should know ahead of time. If Johnson happens to miss, Golden Tate becomes a great start. And Lance Moore, if he's active, would become a decent sneaky start. You would think that Eric Ebron would get a few extra targets as well, but that would be a big downgrade. Even though the Rams are beat up, big downgrade for Matthew Stafford. His numbers just aren't the same without Megatron in the lineup.
In Tennessee, Kendall Wright is out. Can owners dial up Doriel Green-Beckham now with confidence, or are you still suspect on him?
Well, he's kind of an up-and-down player. I think if Darrell Revis were still out, I would like him more. But Revis is back in the lineup. He's practicing this week. He's probable for Sunday. Green Beckham is coming off of a 5-catch, 119-yard, and a touchdown against the Jaguars last week on 6 targets. That's a really productive 6 targets. With Wright out, there is a little bit of upside here. Maybe the Mariota and him hook up for a long one. But I don't think he's going to have a 6-7 catch day if Revis is shadowing him. I think maybe the winner here is going to be Jelani Walker, just getting peppered with targets across the middle.
Ryan Matthews is listed as probable for the Eagles. What do you make of the Philly backfield situation with all the news about DeMarco Murray being frustrated, talking to Philly's Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, last week coming home from Foxborough? What do you make of the whole backfield situation for the Eagles?
Well, Murray hasn't really played well this year. He's averaging 3.5 yards per carry. He got off to a really rough start. It's been a little bit better since then. He was third in line for touches last week in terms of total touches behind Kenyon Barner and Darren Sproles, who got extra work last week. And then if you bring in Ryan Matthews back and you look at his line this year, he's averaging 5.7 yards per carry. He's got 5 touchdowns, rushing, 1 receiving. He's a very versatile player. They could easily come back and just install him as the RB1 for this game and see how he does. Then again, he's been out for a few weeks, and they might want to ease him in. So I don't think you can start any of these guys with any sort of confidence this week. I think they're all risk-reward plays, and I think Ryan Matthews has the best upside of the crew.
And, John, I actually wanted to ask you from a personal fantasy standpoint about C.J. Spiller and Tim Hightower with the injury for Mark Ingram. He's been placed on season-ending IR. Would you just stay away from the New Orleans backfield this weekend?
I would try, but some owners don't have that choice, though. I mean, you're just stuck, and you need a player that is going to get some touches, and these guys will get some touches this week. I favor Spiller a bit, but Hightower could easily lead the team in carries and touches. I think Spiller is the better player. Certainly in PPR formats, I would think he would pick up some of the catches, but they just haven't shown a whole lot of faith in him and his pass protection, so... It really wouldn't be all that shocking if Hightower came out and played 80% of the snaps, because he does do well in pass protection. But the thing that really worries me about this game is that the Bucs are number one in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs, so there's a whole lot of upside here, even if a player gets 10 to 12 touches.
I'm kind of stuck. If you can sense it. I mean, my running back situation, I made the playoffs in just one league this year, did not draft well at all, and I screwed up by taking C.J. Spiller early, and it's just been a mess. So I may have to play Spiller this weekend.
Well, it is, you could look for Juwan Thompson or maybe Matt Jones on the James White, maybe on the waiver wire. If those guys are available, I think I'd start them all over Spiller or
sure.
Hightower.
And I did pick up Bilal Powell, so maybe...
Yeah, he's not a bad start.
Yeah. We'll do the Thursday night breakdown, also hand out some sneaky starts. Want to tell you about FantasyFeud.com, though. It's the place to play one-day fantasy contests. You can now join their NBA contests, which are live on the site, in addition to their daily and weekly NFL, NHL, PGA, and NASCAR events. Contests start for just $1, as little as $1, or you can even try it for free and play for points, which you can redeem in their store. If you're looking to cash in, they have a 1 million NFL Feud of Champions contest where they're giving out $250,000 to first place. Over the last few weeks, their qualifiers to this event have had massive overlay. Last year's winner took home the first place prize with just a $2 satellite entry. So go to fantasyfeud.com today, get a 100% first-time deposit bonus as well with the referral code 444. That's the number 4, F-O-R, number 4. Let's break down the Thursday night matchup, starting with the Cardinals, John. Carson Palmer, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns. The rookie, David Johnson, another strong game as the starter, 24 touches, 123 yards. Michael Floyd, 5 catches on 9 targets, 102 yards and a touchdown. John Brown got into the end zone, also had 4 catches for 78 yards on 5 targets. Larry Fitzgerald, 5 catches, 6 targets, 41 yards. Who stood out?
Yeah, you'd like to see Palmer with another touchdown there. He had the good yardage and solid 2-touchdown game, but against the Vikings, as banged up as they were, I was expecting a third touchdown for him. I was hoping for a third touchdown from him anyway. He almost had it when he hit David Johnson over the middle there early in the game, but it was behind, a little bit behind Johnson, and Johnson dropped it, but that might have gone for a touchdown. As far as what else stood out, the Michael Floyd, 100 yards again. He now has 100-plus yards in 4 of his last 5 games. He's always been up and down in his career, but he's starting to show some consistency. And that one game where he didn't do much was, coming off an injury. So I think now he's almost threatening to be an wide receiver too. And then if you're looking at Fitz, I saw some people complaining about his production today. You wouldn't be where you are in the playoffs if it wasn't for picking up Larry Fitzgerald in the 7th round. So you sort of have to live with it. It's only 9.1 fantasy points in PPR formats, 4 points in standard, and it's not ideal. But he has 70 targets over his last 6 games. He plays in the top scoring offense in the league. He's just going through a TD drought right now. And I think, next week against the Eagles, he might be able to get that straightened up.
Some Vikings highlights, Teddy Bridgewater, 335 yards and a touchdown, although his fumble with just, 13 seconds left in the game or so wound up costing the Vikings the game, or at least a chance to tie the score late. I don't know why they didn't just kick the field goal, but hindsight is 20/20. AP, 24 touches, 86 yards and a touchdown. Then Kyle Rudolph caught 6 passes on 6 targets, had 67 yards. Mike Wallace, 3 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown on 5 targets. And then the rookie, Stephon Diggs, 2 catches, 12 yards on 7 targets, and he just couldn't break free against Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, that was some shutdown coverage there. They did try to get him involved with the 7 targets, but the 2 catches, very disappointing if you had him. He had a good run in the middle of the season, but he's been real quiet lately. And, of course, Mike Wallace, just when you give up on him, he ends up scoring a touchdown, having a nice fantasy game for you. It was nice to see Peterson play well for his owners after a bad game last week. He came up fairly big with a really beautiful touchdown run there early in the game.
All right, Sneaky Starts time. You can find John's Sneaky Starts articles if you're a subscriber at 444.com. He posts them, every Friday, John?
Yeah, every Friday.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks that you like. Talk to me about Ryan Fitzpatrick and then also Alex Smith.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, if you look at his game log, he's accounted for at least 2 touchdowns, including both rush and pass touchdowns in 7 of his last 8 games, and I think he's a nice play against the Titans. They're 26th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterback. So he's benefiting there from having Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall playing very well at receiver, and those guys have stayed relatively healthy this season. Alex Smith is the number 13 quarterback on the season. He had 5 touchdowns in his last 2 games. And then you look at the Chargers, the 21st in adjusted fantasy points allowed. The team's kind of a mess. It could be a low-scoring game where the Chiefs kind of control it the whole way, but Smith always has a way of giving in enough to get you by if you're kind of streaming the position. He's available. I looked earlier this week. He's available in almost 70% of the fantasy leagues over at Yahoo. So he's not widely owned. So he's out there for streaming if you want him. He's my number 12 or 13 quarterback this week. So I do like him, and especially with his legs. I mean, he's able to rush for 27.2 yards per game this year, and that's and it raises his floor a little bit.
All right, you mentioned Matt Jones earlier if you want to have some expanded thoughts on him. And then I also mentioned Bilal Powell. What do you think of those 2 guys?
Well, Jones is a little bit interesting this week because of the injury there to Thompson. They signed Pierre Thomas this week, and I think, you know, I'm never big on starting the guy that they've signed off the street. I think he's looking for an apartment, trying to figure out to get his gas turned on, all that kind of stuff. Just getting acclimated with the offense and all that. So Matt Jones, who's been doing more of the passing down work, if Thompson is out, he's got like a shoulder injury. So if he's indeed out, Jones should see most of his passing down snaps, and he's been getting even most of the carries as well when Alfred Morris doesn't get off to a good start. And the Bears can be run on, so that's a pretty good matchup there, and Jones could surprise. And then Powell, I was looking at his game log. In the 6 games where he's been healthy and not either injured or coming off of an injury, he's averaging 13 touches per game for 73 yards and 0.17 touchdowns, and that's a pretty solid flex start for you. In PPR formats, even better than that. He's 13.0 PPR fantasy points per game. That's pretty solid.
At wide receiver, you like Tyler Lockett and Jermaine Kearse this week?
Well, I wouldn't say I like them both, but I bet you one of them goes off. And if you look at their combined game logs, they've each gone off 1 week. Lockett's had 2 good games. Kearse has had 1 good game. And I think in this matchup against Baltimore, one of them catches at least 1 deep ball. And if you're in a desperation situation, taking a 50-50 chance on one of these 2 guys isn't a bad bet. I think against the Ravens, Russell Wilson should have a nice game.
All right, finally at tight end, Zach Miller, and you also list the rookie Max Williams from the Ravens.
Yeah, Zach Miller with Martellus Bennett out. Miller's been practicing, and he looks like he's going to be in. He played, I believe, the entire game last week or the week that Bennett missed. I think that was 2 weeks ago. And in the previous 4 games, I mean, he didn't have a real good game last week. 1 catch for 6 yards against the 49ers. I guess it was Bennett that was out that last week. But the previous 4 games, Miller racked up 12 catches for 187 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he's going to be a big part of this passing game. Assuming he's healthy, I'm a little bit worried about the rib, but I think he's a decent start if you're in trouble at tight end. And then if you asked about Max Williams, Crockett Gilmore's got a back injury. It looks like he's doubtful to play. Nick Boyle is on the shelf now after a suspension, and Max Williams is coming back from a concussion. I would feel better about him if it wasn't Jimmy Clausen throwing in the ball. Matt Schaub has been out of practice this week and listed as questionable, so it doesn't look like he's going to play. I would still start someone like Will Tye, Richard Rodgers, or Austin Seferian Jenkins over Max Williams, but it looks like he's going to play quite a bit with Gilmore out.
John, great stuff. Have yourself a great weekend, and good luck. Any fantasy teams that are going to be in the playoffs?
Yeah, I got a few teams in the playoffs. Good luck with your CJ Spiller decision there.
It's appreciate it.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, hopefully, you know what? If I don't play him, he'll probably go off. If I do play him, he'll probably have 1 point. So it's just my luck this year in fantasy, but I know I'm not the only one. It's been kind of a tough year for a lot of people. I feel like there's a lot of 7-6 teams this year, but maybe it's just me.
Yeah, looking around at leagues and the standings, everybody's been bit by injuries, and that usually makes for more parity.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, listeners who want to try out 4for4's DFS subscription through the end of the playoffs should use our code, which is WEEK14, all capitals, WEEK14, that's a week and then the number 14, to get the subscription for just $25. Look for that pinned tweet at the top of John's Twitter page, at 444_John, for more details. And you can follow me as well, at Anthony Stalter. So for John Pulse, I'm Anthony Stalter. We'll see you next time on 4for4, the most accurate podcast.